Ja. Wieso soll ich den Master runterreißen, bitte?
Ist nicht so laut, oder?
Ja, nee, es geht nicht. Ich kann ja schon leiser machen. Nee, also so. So ist immer noch zu laut. So ist vielleicht gut, oder? So lautstärkemäßig ist. Das klappt doch nicht. Nein, das ist okay. Der zeigt doch hier den Peak. Das ist nur Peak. Das klappt nicht. Ha, gut, ha. Noch mehr, ja? Ja, aber dann muss ich ihn aber hier auch drehen, finde ich so. Ist das so genug von der Lautstärke? Ich glaube schon.
Aber was soll der? Hat es ja hier hängen, siehst du? Also,
ja,
das passt schon. Lass mal hängen. Ja, aber man sollte es schon hören, irgendwie. Was er spricht, glaubt man ein bisschen. Also, okay, kannst du hier nochmal lauter machen und dann.
Lass mal bitte, wenn du das Kind geben.
Ja.
Ja. Übrigens
ist es hier, weil ich bin auf dem Grund, das ist alle. Okay. Na gut, dann mache ich den hier wieder runter. Oder guck mal, ob es so für dich passt, weil ich glaube, das ist ganz okay so, von der Lautstärke. Oder Jörg, was sagst du da oben? Kannst du mich jetzt hören, wenn ich jetzt ganz normal rede? Ist es zu hören? Irgendwie, ich halte jetzt hier einen Vortrag. Jörg? Jetzt nicht im Kopfhörer. Sag mal so im Raum.
Ist viel zu laut.
Ist viel zu laut? Okay, hör das ja nicht. So, das nicht, ja. So lassen wir das.
Der ist time until tomorrow, and the 24th is the deadline. But just check it out.
Today.
So, Sie haben Kontakt. Sometimes. Internet. Thank you. Vorgänger gehabt. Das ist nicht kopiert.
Ladies and gentlemen, we are going to introduce Tim Blechmann, who is going to present a new audio synthesis engine with a data from one which called NOLA, which is developed by Tim.
There are actually the most of titles. I used to have the title PNPD, renamed it to NOVA a short time ago. So I'm still having the two names up here, but I generally refer to it as NOVA, so I'm not going to get confused if you get two names or I don't know. It is, as it says, audio synthesis engine that I've been working on for quite some time now, and it's starting to get usable. That's why I'm here and want to present what it's doing. First, I will talk a bit about how it is possible to access it and to program it, and then I'll go into the details of the implementation, where it gets more developed talk. But for me, I think it's not really presenting lots of new concepts. But it is trying to have a very good implementation of what it is doing, and that's why I'm going to talk about that too. So, it is basically a data flow language, like there are lots of other data flow languages around at the time now. Possibly most of you will be familiar with the Max-like languages like Curvata, MaxMSP, or JMax. But there are also other programs that use similar concepts like VBBB, MapView, or recently Yahoo wrote a system to generate RSS feeds, which is basically also based on a data flow syntax. Now, Nova itself is basically a Max-like language, like Max, MSP, or Pure Data. There are some aspects that are handled differently. I will try to explain the most important differences later on. But if you know Max or you know PD, you will be familiar with most of the concepts that are implemented in Nova. Unlike Max or PD, there is not only the graphical patcher environment, but it is also possible to use a text-based language to generate the patchers for you. Which actually I've been writing it at the time when I hadn't had a graphical user interface. It is possible to use it with a text-based language, which is different somehow derived from the patcher. At the moment it's basically a small command line program where you can load your patches into it. And I'm working on a graphical user interface, started with it I think 4 weeks ago, so it's not really something that I'm able to present now, but I'm working also on the graphical user interface. So, why have I been starting this project at all? I've been using Pure Data for a long time, and when working with Pure Data, I found that the approach to patches and how to create patches, it is very powerful, as it's very easy to write them. You can change them on the fly interactively without having to recompile it or reloading the script in an interpreter. And well, it's just very easy to learn from musicians who are not into programming at all. Probably most of you are somehow into programming or are more familiar with these kinds of scripting languages than most musicians are, who just have an idea and want to just have a certain maybe haptical approach to programming, knowing how to synthesize where they commit patch calls. But the more you get into, or the more I got into writing PD patches, I found out that some aspects are missing or aren't really thought of that I wanted to have, or that I came across and that I just wanted to have a better way to do something. So, the ways to go was basically first to try to get some things into Pure Data. But from my feeling I had with Pure Data, it was that I can't do it with the code base of Pure Data. Then Max MSP is closed source, so I can't really access it, although it's pretty powerful what it can do. I needed some kind of project for some of my studies to work in software engineering labs, and I'm currently doing my bachelor thesis, which involves coding in Nova. When designing the patcher language, it is that the patcher language itself just represents the state of a system, not really like in scripting languages, the procedure of how things are happening. But I guess most of you are somehow familiar with PD or the concepts, having objects, putting them on canvas and connecting them. So or having some kind of abstractions, writing patches in the patcher language that you then reuse. Which can also be done exactly the same way in Nova, as it just has this Max-like approach. Like Max and like PD, there's a strong separation between the messaging and the signal flow, though, with the messages being events that are happening at one time, and the signals that are a continuous audio stream, which leads to some problems when you want to try to have a system that has a very tight interaction between the audio and the signal domain. So, the message system of Nova is slightly different to the message system of PD or to Max. Some of the concepts like bangs or flows are implemented the same way. Also, the symbols are very similar. It has differences in the list type, which is a full-featured list like it is used in Lisp-like languages or in Python, which can be empty or which can be nested a bit. It has integers which can be used like the Python long type, having exact integers. And for string processing, there's also a real string type that, unlike a symbol type, is a real string that is being passed, and the symbols are just used as message selectors because they can be created very efficiently, they can be compared very efficiently without actually using any data, it's just using handles to the data. And it is very easy, or Nova is designed like that, that it's easy to create own message types from the C++ interface. So, for example, I'm having a message type for OC messages containing the address and the content in one message, and with objects you can access the address and the value on their own, but you just have a certain possibility to create own types. Now, this is the way the Nova patch in the text language looks like, which is basically a very simple patch having one sine wave oscillator of 440 Hz that is connected to two outlets, two inlets of a digital analog converter object which just sends to the audio output. Now this represents a patch, which actually means that it is not executed over the time, but it's just executed once and represents the state of the Nova interpreter for a certain time. To go into the details, the first line declares the oscillator object with the arguments, the creation arguments 440 Hz, which can then be referred as the symbolic name signal. This symbolic name is then possible, or with this symbolic name, it is possible to create connections at that time. So, when I'm creating the EAC object, in the round brackets, I'm connecting to the first, or I'm connecting the first outlet from the signal to the first two inlets of the EAC. The box brackets it is possible to define the connection source or from the object, it is possible to access a certain outlet or a certain inlet. It might get more clear in this example, which is actually the same patch, but the connections are done explicitly, having the arrow and the third line denotes that the first outlet of the signal is patched to the first inlet of the out object, and the first outlet of the signal is connected then to the second outlet of the out. So I could have been writing a zero in square brackets, but just to have a very short syntax, it is possible to just leave it out. And it's using the inlet number, or the first inlet, so in computer based terms, number 0 and number 1 if you count the inlets. But that's basically just another representation of a patch. I'm trying to go over to some of the main differences between Nova and the other MaxLab languages now. The patches usually have, or can have, load bang or end bang objects, which are used to initialize a certain patch, which in the implementations right now, which are MaxPD, have a very simple structure and don't really have a full encapsulation of objects. So it is possible with PD, Max, to access patches that are not initialized, which is working just differently in Nova, where messages that have been sent to patches which have not been initialized are just queued, and after the load bank object of a certain patch have been executed, the queued events will be executed. That way, it is possible to create patches that initialize themselves, and after then are initialized by other patches in the construction or in the event of the construction. The other way around, there are also endbang objects where it is not that important to have a good encapsulation, but after the endbang objects have been executed, the information that are sent to the patcher are just ignored. The segment possibly the aspect that is most different to the MaxLab languages is that it has some kind of hierarchic binding system. It is possibly best to just describe it with this simple patch hierarchy. I hope it's somehow you somehow can see what I wanted to show here. It is one patch that is on the top of the hierarchy, one patch that is nested inside the sub-patch, and in this nested patch there is a third patch inside. So, on the top of the hierarchy, there are send-receive objects which are using a message bus, the message bus named foo. Now, if the message bus foo is not declared explicitly, a global one will be declared on the top of the hierarchy, which these objects are then bound to. In the second part of the hierarchy, I'm declaring a bus named foo explicitly, which is then only visible in this scope and in the sub-patches that are lower in the hierarchy than this one. Which means that these send and receive objects are bound to this bus that is declared in the second point of the hierarchy, which is a different bus than the one top in the hierarchy. Although it has the same name. In the nested patch on the third level of the hierarchy, I'm declaring the same bus true, but with the attribute that it is global. Sorry for the L, it's missing the diagram, or, well, it's not missing, but it's just very hard to see. Declaring it a global means that it is bound to the global bus that has been used on the top of the hierarchy, which basically means this receiver receives from the same bus that this send object is sending to. Basically, that is an overworked way to handle the $0 or #0 in max or PD, which on max and PD just has one global scope where I'm having kind of nested scopes.
Tim? Yeah? So these are like sub-patches basically, this hierarchy you're trying to show, or is it something a bit different?
No, that's basically patches. Well,
sub-patches I mean, like the hierarchy.
Yes, exactly. Exactly.
When you were saying, you know, if you try and use a bus called Ma, and if it's not already there, it gets made. What order is sub-patches evaluated explicitly after the parent patch, or?
Well, if I'm creating an object that is using one of the bindable objects, like a bus, it will search up in the hierarchy to find one. If it finds one, it is bound to the bus that it can find. And if it doesn't find a bindable object, it is creating a new one, which is globally.
Oh, good. So there's only there's no kind of sub. There's like really local scope, but no sort of progressively nested scopes that you're making.
Well, there is. For example,
so in this middle one, you just said like send blah. Is that going to make one that's global?
That is creating one that is global. If I'm declaring it, if I'm adding a declare object, it is using one that is just on this scope.
Okay.
I already implemented quite a few objects, which were basically the objects that I needed for my own works with it. Which are most of the objects from the PD core, which are not really, I don't know, maybe 30 or 40 objects. There are some of the objects from the MaxSP library, which is basically a huge library of these few objects. I haven't implemented all of them yet because some I didn't need yet, and some are not really easy to implement. There are OSC objects, which is basically the only way at the moment to communicate with the Nova interpreter, as there is no MIDI input or there is no MIDI interface to Nova yet. So currently when I'm performing, I'm using the OSC to get information to Nova. There are OSC, there are Python scripting objects, which allow me to write messaging externals in Python or to just execute Python functions in Python modules. And yeah, it's pretty trivial to extend Nova by writing own C++ classes, and they are, like the externals in Max or PD, linked to the running executable. And it's possible to use them.
Is it possible to use this flex stuff? Is it too ugly to
use your
architecture?
I don't know yet. I think it would be possible to port Flex using Nova as a backend, because when I created the base classes for Nova objects, I had a look at Flex and it has some of the same concepts. But Flex is basically written as a wrapper for Max and PD, which had a very similar API, where Nova is completely different. It would be pretty straightforward to have a class that emulates the Flex syntax. Maybe not adding backend to Flex, but having a very similar or same syntax, that instead of compiling it against Flex, it would be possible to compile it against Nova, or one kind of class that is derived by the Nova classes. Well, actually, maybe Thomas Grill has some effort in making it possible to do that. It's not really trivial, but it's definitely doable. Well, I'm trying to get to the second part, which is basically on the implementation of Nova. As I said, it's not really adding so many new concepts, but it's trying to have a good and scalable implementation of most of the concepts, which are basically having a very efficient DSP core and having a real-time system, or at least a soft real-time system that I'm able to load patches on the fly without having audio dropouts, or basically trying not to have any audio dropouts at no time. Nova itself is basically a shared library that can be used by programs to have the interpreter of the data flows language and of the DSP core. The patch generator that takes the syntax that you've seen before and compiles them to the Nova code, or the Nova, well, it's actually an XML file representing the patch, and the graphical user interface, they are written in Python, just because it's not really important for the graphical user interface to be that efficient compared to the audio core, and it's just easier to write. During that time, when having Nova as a shared library bound to Python, I also started to have it available as Python modules that can then be used in any other Python environment. But I'm still working or thinking about how there's a good way to bring over the patcher environment to a Python environment. It's written in C++, which means that and it's using several dependencies, which means it's not possible, or it's not easily possible, to port it to systems, to embedded systems, for example, that are not possible to for example have runtime type information from C++, or have good C++ compilers to compile the boot libraries, or but it's not basically written for embedded devices. It is written for personal computers, for DSP processors. I don't really think that it will be possible to port it there. The implementation of the messaging interpreter is basically to have a soft real-time system. which means, yeah, we try not to do so many system calls from the audio, or if you want to do system calls from the interpreter language, you should do that somehow in low priority thread, which is basically a big problem in PD or Macs. To have a good synchronization between the audio and the messaging. I've been using some log-free data structures, which I've been implementing together with Thomas Grill, just in order to have possibilities to communicate between the low priority thread and the high priority audio thread very efficiently. But if you want to, you can definitely log the audio system by doing too much messaging at one time, and then you'll have audio dropouts. But at least, for example, compared to MaxMSP, MaxMSP doesn't have a very tight clock system. I think during the last audio conference there was a talk about that. I haven't been there, but it is basically that if the messaging is too slow, the audio will be preferred. And, well, for Nova, you will have an audio drop out there, but you just have to rehearse before trying to do something like that. The second point, the audio performance, or the performance of the DSP core, I really spent a lot of effort trying to optimize that. Basically, the DSP graph is compiled into a DSP chain, which is basically the topological sorted DSP graph, which is then executed object by object, and the DSP graph is not traversed as a graph, but just as a list, which makes it more efficient. The second point of the architecture is that when the DSP chain is set up, it is possible for objects to create or to allocate certain functions to be used in this context of the DSP graph. Which means if one of the outlets is not connected, it is possible to write the object for maybe an object that has two outlets, and during the time of the creation, I can decide if only one object or one outlet is connected, I'm not sending any data to the second outlet. So I'm kind of trying to give the programmer of concerns the possibility to optimize the code depending on the state of the DSP graph at a certain time. The other point is that try to optimize the low-level functions that are just used everywhere, basically the vectorizable functions using SIMD code. I'm trying to talk a bit about that because often when I talk to people, they say, well, why are you writing code for the SSE instruction set? It might be obsolete at one time, and the compilers are getting better. And, well, actually, the compilers are getting better, but still, they can't really generate efficient vectorized code.
Have you looked at things like LibOil for this?
So like what?
LibOil, this optimized library, like when the program starts, it checks what process you have, and it has abstractions for all of these, like SSE kind of for SIMD functions. And like if you're on an alphabet processor, it does it using alphabet. If you're on SSE2, it uses SSE2.
I'm not familiar with this library. Like,
yeah. I've seen it being used in many different places, but when I first found it, I was like, Jesus Christ, this is fantastic. No one's using it.
No, I'm not familiar with it.
Okay.
What I did was basically writing the let's go over these first. The compilers, or at least the GCC compiler, is able to generate vectorized code for simple vector operations like adding, copying, this is actually what the SSE instruction set initially designed for. And for a compiler, it's pretty straightforward to see this code and then create optimized code. But it's getting more difficult if the algorithms have to be designed differently. This second point, the simple vectorizable operations, for example, are operations like minimum, maximum, where in the C code you usually have a branch. If it's bigger than a certain value, then take this value, otherwise keep it. But for these instructions, or for these operations, there are certain instructions on the SSE instruction set, which means that the compiler would have to figure out that he can use, or that he can take this branch and replace it with a function that is actually on the hardware. Where I think that the compiler builders are able to figure that out at least at some point. It is getting more difficult though when you have to use some kind of bit mask, like for finding the absolute value or for finding the sign or some things like the normal bashing, which is done with bit masks very efficiently compared to writing the definitely in the C code, where you have to create the floating point as integers, then you can do the bit masking, and it's very efficient to do all this stuff on the SSE instruction set compared to doing it in the C code. And functions like finding a peak value of a certain signal vector, it is even more difficult for the compiler because you iterate over a certain array and then accumulate the values of this array, or find the maximum value of this array, which can also be done on the SSE unit way more efficiently, but it would be just too much for the compiler to understand the code. Now, the second optimization for the DSP core is that for the simple functions that can be vectorized, I'm using template metaprogramming to do the loop unrolling at the compile time instead of looping over a signal or a signal block, which is basically 64.
The mic is off.
You take the other mic, please.
Okay.
Just take it this way. This
way. Compile time loop unrolling, I just generate the code for iterating over a certain area of memory instead of iterating doing a loop, but just executing a certain kind of code.
which on modern CPUs is way more efficient, as the jumps are pretty costly, and the CPU caches and prefetching of the instructions is very efficient. So that's also a point. Like, it doesn't give any performance for like oscillators when you access wavetables and access memory. But for simple vectorized operations that just work on samples, it is definitely some speed up. So I did a benchmark patch, which is basically a patch that has the object that you're using or that can be used in both PD and Nova very quickly, that are basically in most of the patches. Filtered noise, FM synth, sample playback, sample recording, delay line, audio in and out. Did some benchmarks on my machine, which is a Pentium Centrino notebook, against PD, and for this patch, Nova turned out to be about between 2 and 2.5 times faster, which is quite a speed up for actually the same code that is executed and the same sound that you hear. So for next time, I'm actually working on it on my beta tests now, so I can spend some work on it. It's basically to get the graphical user interface, the graphical patcher working. I mean, there is a graphical patcher at the moment that I don't want to show you because I just started it 4 weeks ago. So yeah. It needs definitely better documentation of both language and library. And I have to go over the library again, which objects are usable, which objects might be replaced by abstractions, or might be written differently, get another interface. It definitely needs some testing, which is actually the point why I'm here, to get some users, to get some testing. I want to port it to other systems. Porting it to 64-bit machines, it shouldn't be that hard. Because I just need to write some assembly code for the log-free instructions, or for the like log-free algorithms. But I also want to get it running at least on OS X and maybe even on Windows, because, well, most of the musicians are using these platforms. And Nova shouldn't be written for nerds, but for musicians who can use it and who are not scared away by using Linux. Some things that I've been thinking about to implement, but I don't know if I will ever have the time or to do it, is, for example, as the computers are getting more CPUs instead of getting higher clock rates, to somehow distribute the DSP chain to several CPUs by still having the possibility to run with low latencies, which is not really trivial. And I'm not really sure if and how to do it at all. But
I was just thinking just something about that. I mean, I'm not really sure how well it would work with the audio situation, but I always thought, you know, you have this trigger situation in PD, you know, having this, when you have lots of things coming out of the one outlet, it's like, you know, which order they're going to get executed. I always thought, why is it this just done, like, you have explicit, there's no way you know what things are being ordered, what way things are being executed, and then you put these in separate threads. But I'm not really sure if that works as well for the DSP chain.
Sorry to chime in. Could you summarize that remark through the microphone?
I'm trying to. So the question was that if it would be possible to trigger the audio signals like the or similar to the messages instead of running it on the DSP chain.
Maybe don't worry about it.
The problem is that the synchronization is not really trivial, having multiple threads running the audio. The second point is that the synchronization is very expensive. If you have to trigger the parallel objects, especially if you have a lot of objects inside your DSP graph, so if you're not having maybe 10 objects but having 1,000 objects, where possibly all the caching and the performance improvements that the DSP chain has in the difference to the DSP graph where you trigger the objects, that caching is worse, so that you actually don't benefit from it, at least maybe not with two CPUs, but not with six or eight, maybe it benefits, but I'm not really sure about that one. I'm thinking more of maybe trying to combine certain areas of the DSP graph to get, not for every object, own node in the graph, but combine some parts of the DSP graph and then trigger them like that. But that's actually the way how one would approach it. Running Nova as Latska, VSSI or VST or some kind of plugin in Ardour or Pro Tools environment would be nice too. I've already talked a bit about the Max PD compatibility using Flex, or it would also somehow be possible to write some parts of the Max or PD API and be able to compile the either compile the PD object against Nova or having even a binary compatibility, but that would be not that trivial. So, sorry for taking so long. Any questions?
Okay, I just say it and you repeat it.
Alright.
Seems like, well, in my experience, it's one of the main problems with PD, and I don't use Max, is, well, not on the DSP side or on the efficiency side, but and having a not often orthogonal language. You know, it's just a huge bunch of objects, even if you have the core of PD, which could have been implemented in a far better structured way, like having, I mean, to have orthogonal objects. Know what I mean?
Yeah.
So if you do replicate all the objects, why don't you just restart, which seems like what you're doing, why don't you just restart with a new set of objects and implement functionality of Max and PD and whatever with your objects?
Well, the question was why porting objects from Max or PD to Nova instead of writing own objects with an own object system, own concepts. Well, basically, I'm not rewriting the objects. I'm trying to rewrite the functionality. And
yes, that's the problem. I mean,
yeah, I'm trying to reprogram the functionality, and if I am able to use the codes and the idea that is in PD, that is in Max, I don't really need to have new access to the system or to have other object names.
But I think maybe the point is that the fundamental selection of objects that you have. So in the question of are you re-implementing an existing language or are you actually making a new language? And if you are just re-implementing objects that already exist in PD and Max, then you're re-implementing an existing Bartflow language, as opposed to thinking through what fundamental elements would you need to make a language that was that actually solves some of the fundamental problems that PD and Max have as far as a programming language.
Thank you.
Now you have to summarize it, I'm sorry.
I suppose we could just complement that, because it seems to be a lot of effort going into this. It's really, it's quite an impressive amount of work that's been done, and the results are really impressive. But it feels that this is, such a lot of work deserved, deserved a better goal that rather than, start from the target that's there, PG. And instead of starting from there, it's like, we have a blank sheet of paper, and let's think of something that has lots of problems in maximum speed. Let's prove something that's better from a different angle, because that's the way to do things, rather than that we've got project that starts to fix kind of the patch up the holes here and there.
Yes. To summarize it, the point of this quick question was basically why keeping so much focus on PD and max when designing Nova. Well, many people are using it using max and using PD, and for these people, it should be very straightforward to switch over. The basic concepts are very similar, and they are pretty good. So I don't really want to have a complete new system with a complete new language, because there's a lot of knowledge of people and a lot of experience. The concept of Max and PD have been tested for 20 years now. Some of the concepts work very well, some don't really work. I was trying to get the good points of both of these languages and trying to adapt the bad points or the problems to have better solutions for these problems. So I don't really want to have something completely new, but I want to have something that takes the power and the experience of the older systems and getting rid of the problems of them.
And I just think in terms of, say you find yourself needing to implement some object, and you might think, oh, I could actually just make two fundamental objects, and this would be like a two or three object patch, then that's what I would really like to see happen. Like, often I said there are way too many externals in Max and PD. Why can't you just build this shit in abstractions? Like, why do you need to get out the C code? If it's a real program language, you don't need any externals.
Yeah, like Reactor, I think, is doing this, that they have very basic stuff where you can compile new externals in the Reactor language itself. I don't know it very much, but...
Yeah, it's not really a criticism, that's just like an idea. It'd be cool if this was in your head when you actually have the opportunity to make the object, you're thinking, is this one really necessary? Could the other objects be structured to make this unnecessary?
Definitely. Interactive, like the simple collider language, or it is not. It is very similar to the PD patches, where, yes, to go a bit further, the language itself is not loaded into the interpreter, but it is compiled to an XML code which is then loaded into the interpreter. The XML code is the code that the graph computer interfaces should be able to generate and to read. But to have a more compact way to write the patches, I created the text syntax. But it is not really meant to be sent directly to the interpreter. Although, well, it would be possible to compile it to the XML code and load the XML code to the interpreter on the fly. That would be possible.
Have you discarded this interactive behavior? I think it should be interactive.
Well, I haven't really been thinking about that, doing something interactive. It should be possible to access the audio stream on the fly and to change the audio stream on the fly. So it definitely could be doable to introduce that. But I haven't really been thinking about it.
Yeah, there's two questions coming in from RC. One is, Steffen Liu from Copenhagen in Denmark. He would like to know, what is the reason for having both a text-based Azure language and an internal XML format for the interpreter? That is, why don't the interpreter use the text-based Azure language?
It's actually a good question, and the XML file is not really readable, while the text syntax is really readable. And it is possible to store the patches that have been written in the graphical user interface in the XML format, because the XML format doesn't have any semantic information, while the text-based syntax has some kind of semantic information, and it can't really be created automatically without having some code that is definitely not, it wouldn't be readable anymore if I would have to save it in this, sorry, if I would have to save it in this text syntax.
Thanks. And there's another question coming in from Esben Stien from Norway. And he says, I'm not sure I understand this, but is it strictly music five style patching, or is it possible to do real physical modeling with the wave equation using partial differential equation? Something you can't do with normal music five style patching.
Well, if I would, well, first I don't really understand the question. Second, I don't understand why using a patch language for differential equations I've been writing some chaotic oscillators which are based on differential equations, but doing that in the time domain the sampled way, not the continuous way, you would need a block size of one, and then you should be able to do that in, well, at least in the MaxLab languages, it shouldn't really be a problem to do that in the Max world or PD world. Although I would do it in C or C++, as it wouldn't be really efficient. If that is what I'm thinking that the question was, but I'm not sure if it was.
All right. Yeah, I'm not sure if it's the Elka, it's So, what do you think about this?
I like the choice.
Yeah, I like the choice.